Welcome to the Hugh Jackson Show, brought to you by State Farm. Nathan's girl alongside the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. And coach, coming out of last week's game, there was a lot of good. The result wasn't what you wanted, but right. I thought some positivity. It starts with your young quarterback, DeShone Kizer. What did he show you against the Lions?
Well, I thought he played probably his best game of the year. You know, he was able to manage our offense, put us in position to score points. I thought he did a really good job that way, you know, making checks when he needed to and understanding how to direct the protection when he needed to. So I thought, again, as I said earlier, I thought it was his best game.
So one of the things I get to notice when I'm on the sideline is what's happening between series. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to me he took on a huge leadership role this week and really seemed in command of this team, offense, defense, special teams. And it seemed like the guys were starting to follow him as well.
Oh, there's no question. I think that's the hat that he has to wear, you know, as the quarterback of our football team. He is the face of this organization. So I think, you know, he is the leader. So he needs to make sure that the defensive football teams plan for him and special teams plan for him. And obviously offense has to play for him as well.
Given everything that he went through during the bye week and given what happened and is well documented going into halftime, mm-hmm. the fortitude he showed in that third quarter, did that surprise you?
No, it didn't. You know, I thought we were kind of moving the ball up and down the field prior to that. You know, obviously going into halftime, that was on a down note. But nobody in the locker room felt that. You know, it was like, hey, we're going to go score. And that's exactly what we did. So we went and accomplished in the second half and the third quarter exactly what we set out to do. And the key to it is the quarterback playing well and making decisions and getting the ball to the right people. But I think he gets that now. I think he is starting to heed the messages that I've given to him, and he's working at it.
You talked about the running game over 200 yards. Was that kind of what you had in mind when you set out at the beginning of the season for this ground game?
Absolutely. I've always thought that we could be a really good running team, and I still think we're even just scratching the surface of how good we can be. We just got to continue to work at it each and every day, and we know we're going to face some tough challenges like the one this weekend. But at the same time, I think we can be one of the better running teams in football.
Defensively, those first two series were as dominant as you could hope for mm-hmm. all year. How do you guys kind of sustain that throughout the full 60 minutes?
Well, I think, again, it's guys playing fundamental football, doing their assignments to the best of their ability, communicating extremely well, and then just playing tenacious. You know, that's what our defensive football team looked like in those first several drives of the first half. And we just got to continue to feed off of that, build off of that, and continue it throughout the whole game.
All right, back to the offense. You get a toy back. Corey Coleman makes mm-hmm. his return for the Browns this week. Who does he remind you the most of? Because you've coached a ton of wide receivers, right. and how much of them are we going to get to see against the Jags?
Well, I hate to compare players, you know, because Corey has to continue to do it and carve out his own role and niche here with our football team. But he has a unique skill set because he's very fast. He's strong. He has strong hands. I don't think there's a route that he can't run, but he's got to go do it in a game consistently. And we're going to play him. You know, he's going to start at X. We're going to put him out there and let him play. But at the same time, we will monitor him to make sure that he's still playing at a high level when the fourth quarter comes.
And hopefully he can make some big plays this week. And speaking of big plays, DeShone had a huge one to set the valve. Let's take a look at it on the screen in our Papa John's play breakdown.
Kizer back on second down, 15. Plenty of time. Throws down the middle. There's Duvall at the 10, at the 5, and he falls down at the 1 yard line. It's a 35 yard beautiful throw.
All right, coach, here we are. We're going to take a look at a big play in that third quarter mm-hmm. where the Browns offense really was clicking on all cylinders. Second and 15. What were you trying to accomplish here on this play?
Well, I think we went in, you know, we started out the second half trying to mix to get down the field. Was able to hit some runs, and I knew the play before I got in Tiger personnel and ran an inside zone. I was trying to get a feel for their coverage, trying to see where the defensive coordinator would go next. I thought he would play some form of shell coverage or single high. So we went to our four vertical package and got in Tiger personnel and was able to get Seth isolated down the backside seam because David's running out in the jungle. David needs to get just a little wider. I want him a little wider outside here. So, again, it was a heck of a throw by DeShone. Really good read. It all starts with our offensive line up top. But, boy, what pinpoint accuracy right there to put the ball right on Seth's face.
This, to me, is my favorite throw of the year from DeShone Kizer. And I'll tell you what, in the past, I don't mm-hmm. think he throws this ball. Mm-hmm. I think he sits there, and he puts it in a pretty tight window because maybe he's worried about this guy peeling off. But I thought this was a throw that really showed a lot of the growth of DeShone Kizer.
There's no question. This is one of the throws that I would rank up there very high for him as well. Again, I hope he has some more as we keep going. But again, it shows him standing in the pocket, being in real compact, standing back there and getting ready to deliver this ball and putting it in a great spot for Seth so he can make a huge play.
Who almost gets in, and then, of course, the Browns sneak it in just a few plays later for the touchdown. When we look at it from the end zone view here, you talked about the line. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Spencer Durango's come and done a very good job, and when you go four verticals, you need some time to get the ball
absolutely
down the field.
Absolutely, you do. So, again, it starts with Seth and Joel, JC and Kevin and Sean. As you can see, those guys do a great job. There's a one-on-one block with Spencer. There's a one-on-one block with Joel. There's two guys on Spence right there between JC and Kevin. As you see, Sean with a one-on-one block. So that gives us a chance to make it happen. He stands in there and delivers the ball. And again, we make a huge play there.
All right, and hopefully more huge plays to come. And we'll have more of the Hugh Jackson Show to come for you right after this. Coming up next, Sammy Coates and Matt Wilhelm break down his big pass play that got the Browns started on the right foot against the Lions this Sunday.
When we called that play, and I said, oh, I'm getting this ball. I already knew it with my eyes, so when I seen the ball in there, I just had to make the play.
Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan Zgur alongside the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. Coach Sammy Coates, a guy we know he has speed out of Auburn. We saw it with the Steelers, saw it on that first play against the Lions. Was it good to get him involved in this offense?
Yes, it was. You know, again, I've always said if a guy can contribute to our offensive football team or defensive football team or special teams, we're going to give him an opportunity to do that. The first play, I think, was really designed for a guy that could really run and showcase his talent and ability, and he made a heck of a play.
He did. Great throw from Kaiser, and he talks about that throw, does Sammy Coates, with our Matt Wilhelm and the Northeast Ohio BMW Center's play walkthrough.
Hey, it's Matt Wilhelm here with Browns wide receiver Sammy Coates. Sammy, tough loss this past week. But just talk about, you know, the early catch that you had and the role that you're now growing into here with the Cleveland Browns.
You know, the whole process was to get me back to full speed. You know, I came in, I had a couple injuries, I had a hamstring. So that kind of slowed me down with the offense. But once I got going, I told them I was ready to make a play. And they gave us a shot. They said, going to take a shot early. I said, Coach, I'll catch that ball. So they gave me a chance, and I made the play. So that was big time on my part.
Just walk us through the exact play. Obviously, it's right down the sideline. You know, what was the coverage? What did you see early on? And have you been clicking with Deshaun throughout
you know,
the week
we've been
to set that up?
We've been working, throwing deep balls out to practice and stuff like that. You know, and when we called that play, and I knew I was going to be in the game for it. I came in, I seen his man-to-man press. And I said, oh, I'm getting this ball. I already knew it. My eyes already set for the end zone and everything. So when I seen the ball in there, I just had to make the play.
Sammy Coates opens up wide left. Kaiser underneath center on first and 10. First possession. Blitz coming out of the secondary. Kaiser to throw. Going long for Sammy Coates down the far left sideline. He caught the ball. Sammy Coates ends up without a helmet, but it's going to be first and goal inside the Detroit 10-yard line at the 9. A 38-yard connection.
It's been a very interesting 9 weeks for Deshaun Kaiser, for a young quarterback, I think the fourth youngest starter in NFL history. Just walk us through his mentality as a guy who's got to connect with him on a week-in, week-out basis and the progression that he's made to overcome some of the challenges.
Kaiser's going to be a great player. He's still learning the process. He's still getting used to, you know, this speed of this game is unique, you know, and you got to be a smart player to play quarterback, and he's learning. He's still got a lot to learn, but as young players, we all do. And watching him grow every week is amazing. That kid, he takes some hits. He gets stay in there, throw, complete some balls. So for a wide receiver, it's good to have a quarterback that'll sit back there and get the ball to you while you're getting hit in the face.
Even after just a few years in the National Football League, you come to us from obviously a very successful culture and a very successful offense in Pittsburgh. Walk us into this locker room if you can, and just go in as for yourself as a leader. Are you setting an example for some of these young players as the youngest team in the NFL?
You know, but coming from where I came from, the Steelers, it's a different atmosphere. You know, you got a lot of more vets in the locker room here, and I'm considered a vet here, and
right.
It's kind of hard because I just came where I had a lot of veteran guys teaching me the rope. Now I'm teaching these young guys the rope. It's kind of fun. You know, there's a lot of great players in our locker room, and it's going every day, every week. And once we get the hang, get to playing together more and getting that chemistry together, it's going to be a unique team here.
And it looked like you guys had the chemistry for three and a half quarters in Detroit. What's it going to take for this young team and this offense to just click, to all hit on all cylinders just 1 week to get that first dub?
You know, it's a whole factor in that. It's a new team together. We're young. We ain't got that much depth. And when you come to our team, you're going to have veteran guys. You're going to have some young guys to come in and play. So we got the young guys, and we got young guys coming in to play. So it's just about getting them the reps, getting them game reps. We got a lot of guys coming in and playing their first reps in the game. And they coming in, they're like, this is my first time ever playing in the NFL. So it's about that depth to help when somebody goes down. That's the biggest thing with a team. If you ain't got no depth to help you when somebody get hurt, it's going to be hard to compete with those guys that's doing this every day.
Well, good luck against the Jacksonville Jaguars, your upcoming opponent, back at First Energy Stadium.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Coach, that was one of those plays where you're aggressive right out of the gate. Sammy talked about how he wanted to attack on that first play. Is that something you like to do? You kind of got good field position. Take that shot.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, we want to be an offense that's attacking all the time. There's no question about that. We were able to make that happen this past week, and we look forward to do more of that as we go throughout the rest of the season.
Speaking of attacking, Emmanuel Ogba has been a force for you, and we're going to hear from him next on the Hugh Jackson Show. One of the most dominant defensive ends in the NFL is having a standout sophomore season, and he talks with our Dustin Fox next on the Hugh Jackson Show.
I feel like as a leader, I have to step up. You know, I have to make plays. I was drafted here to make plays, you know, cause havoc. So I got to be the best Emmanuel Ogba I can be.
Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan Zagura alongside the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, and Coach Emmanuel Ogba having a very good sophomore season. Is he the most improved player on this team?
He's one of them. I think there's several guys that would fall under that category, but there's no question that Emmanuel stepped his game up. He's been sensational against the run, and now he's starting to get to the quarterback. And that's going to make a huge difference for our defensive football team.
It is. And Emmanuel Ogba has been very good. Two sacks last week. He talks about that and much more with Dustin Fox in the Universal Windows Player Spotlight.
Dustin Fox here with Browns defensive end, Emmanuel Ogba. Emmanuel, obviously your performance against the Lions was one of your best games you've had in your first couple seasons here. Two sacks in the game. How'd that feel?
It definitely feels good, you know, getting after the quarterback. You know, every time I get to the quarterback, I feel like I'm doing my job. Really sad, though, about the loss because I really felt like we had that one.
And now the first play of the game, Stafford drops back to pass, and you find a way to get him on the ground. And I think that your sack really got it going.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I told myself I was going to start fast. You know, every time I start fast, I usually have a good game. You know, start fast, give our team best position to win games, and that's what I try to do throughout the game.
Does it make it easier for you having Myles Garrett on the opposite side, you know, knowing he's going to draw a lot of attention to?
Most definitely, you know, because when we watch film, like, every time I get a sack, he's always right there.
Yeah.
So it's like if I wasn't going to get it, he was going to get it. So, you know, it definitely helps, you know. And he's causing a lot of double teams, too. And they leave me one-on-one, and I'm getting back there. So having Miles definitely helps the team out a lot.
Emmanuel, tell me about the defensive line as a unit, because you guys seem like a really tight group and really one of the strongest pieces, units on the team.
Yeah, I mean, they say we're definitely young, but, you know, we're a good group. We're a family. We're real close. You know, we hang out after. When we're away from football, you know. It's just when a group of guys come together trying to make a difference, you know, we told ourselves we're going to be the backbone of this team, you know, do whatever we can to help this team win games. So that's what we've been doing week in and week out.
Yeah, it seemed like the Lions game, it felt like that was going to be the game you guys were going to really turn it on.
Yeah.
Is that something you guys can build off of?
Oh, yeah, definitely, you know. I feel like as a defense, we should have did a better job as defense because offense really came alive this game. And we are defense, we shouldn't have given up all those points that we did. But, I mean, I guess having a guy down like Jamie Collins, like early in the game, really hurt us a lot.
Emmanuel, tell me about your growth and progression here year two. It seems like you've just really taken your game to the next level this year.
Oh, I feel like as a leader, I have to step up. You know, I have to make plays. I was drafted here to make plays, you know, cause havoc. I just got to do a good job doing that. And I just told myself I got to be the best Emmanuel Ogba I can be.
Coach Emmanuel Agba leads all defensive ends in tackles for loss. He's had a couple multiple sack games, and sure seems like it's a little easier for him out there when number 95 is on the other side. How do those guys work in tandem and be so effective?
Well, you said it. They are a tandem. I think when they're in there together, I think, one, there's a brotherhood that's formed between the two, and I think they push each other. I think the fact that Miles is out there brings the rush a little bit towards Emmanuel, and there's times Emmanuel's pushing those guys the mile, and that's what they're trying to do for each other. And I think they can continue to do that throughout the year. Hopefully, we'll be able to get more sacks over the next several games.
Yeah, and they've got a duo they can look up to, certainly in the one coming to town with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who that duo leads the NFL in sacks. Someday, I bet Garrett and Agba could have that same title. We'll preview that Jags game when we return on the Hugh Jackson Show. We wrap up the Hugh Jackson Show looking at the Browns against the 6-3 Jacksonville Jaguars this Sunday at First Energy Stadium. Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan Zagurin, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And Coach Jackson, it is time now to go ahead and look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, who come to town 6-3, led by arguably the most dominant defense in the National Football League. And I'll just ask you, what makes them so good?
They're good because they have really good players. I mean, they have two real pass rushers. They have two corners that can cover most receivers one-on-one in the National Football League. They have an inside linebacker who is as fast as their defensive backs. And then they have a veteran player in Puzlowski who's playing their Mike backer, who is good at recognizing things before they even happen. So they're a really good defensive football team. But, again, it's a challenge for us.
All right, Coach, we know that we won't have Joe Thomas. They've got Calais Campbell leading the NFL in sacks on one side, Yannick on the other side. This is a good group of ends. How do you help these guys when you have pass rushers like that?
Well, I think you said it. We just got to, one, we got to get the ball out quick. We do have to do some chipping, you know, on both sides, and that's sometimes hard to do. But more so than anything, we got to be able to run the football. You know, at the end of the day, it's the one thing that will take that ability to rush the passer away is just being able to run the football. But we know in the National Football League to score points, you got to be able to do both. So there will be a time we know we have to throw the football, that we got to have great protection. And I think our guys will step up and get that done.
You talked about running the football in my research for this game. The Jags have lost three games, as we talked about. They're 6-3. They've given up at least a 90-yard rusher in all three of those games. And the games they've won, people are not running the football very effectively. That's the key. Crow's running very well. Duke's running well. How do you continue that momentum?
Oh, we just stay after it. I mean, it's a grind. You know, the running game is the ugly part of football. You know, it's dirty. And I think we all get that. We're going to try to make this a dirty football game. And that's just what we have to do. We got to line up and keep coming after these guys and don't stop.
People love strength versus strength. They can run the football. No team gives up fewer yards per carry than the Cleveland Browns. Are you excited to see that matchup of Leonard Fournette, that bowling ball, against this Browns run defense?
I am. I mean, we're going to really find out where we are and truly what we're all about, and I think we get that. But vice versa, we think we're going to be one of the better running teams, too. And we think that this team, they say they can stop the run, so we're going to find out this Sunday.
Going against Blake Bortles, now in the past, he had a history of giving the football away. The Browns have an interception for the last five games. How critical will it be to put the game into his hands and take the football away from him?
Oh, that's very important. I think both teams come in with saying, let's make their quarterbacks win the game. You know, we got to make them one-dimensional and see if we can make them throw the ball by stopping the run. And I'm sure that's got to be their mindset as well. So the team that can handle the pressure from the other defense is going to be the team that has the best chance to win this game.
All right, Coach, thank you so much for being with us, and good luck on Sunday against the Jags. And on Sunday, get ready for the game with Browns Countdown on News 5 at 11 a.m. Joe Thomas will be making his Browns Countdown debut as a special guest analyst. You don't want to miss that. Thank you for watching another edition of the Hugh Jackson Show, brought to you by State Farm.